boy and every wife could kill. He's been by.
Dear Lord, the battles go through life.
Dear Lord, the battles go through life.
We ask for chances fair.
We ask for chances fair.
Chance equal our strife.
Chance equal our strife.
Chance do or dare.
Chance do or dare.
We should win.
We should win.
Let it be by the code.
Let it be by the code.
Faith and honor held high.
Faith and honor held high.
We should lose.
We should lose.
Stand by the road.
Let's stand by the road.
Cheers, the winners go by.
Cheers, the winners go by.
Day by day.
Day by day.
We get better and better.
We get better and better.
Do we get beat, beat?
Do we
get
beat, beat?
Boom, beat, beat.
Boom, beat.
Okay, we are back here on Armchair Quarterback Radio just in time. 30 after the hour, it's the ACC title drive brought to you by Sunbelt Automotive. And we apologize for the hiccup there. I'm not really sure what kicked us off the air on that stream. I don't know if I've had the settings wrong or what. But anyways, we are back. ACC title drive. And I'm assuming everyone's here. Waller, Temus, Wyatt, sound off.
Yes, sir.
Where am I?
Cool. Okay, so let's get into the ACC title drive brought to you by Sunbelt Automotive. We're looking at some of the bigger games. This is actually a really bad college football weekend, to be honest with you. There's a couple of great games, but this is if you look at the number of games, it's a bad weekend for college football. I guess the first game we should get into, because it probably has the most ACC ramifications, is Georgia Tech and Duke. Georgia Tech is a 7-point favorite at Duke. That game, I believe, is the ACC game of the week. Let me double check that. Been a little bit under the weather, so I haven't done my normal due diligence as far as the scoreboards and whatnot. It's on. Going to be on at noon on PN2. So both those teams suffering tough losses last week, but you have two programs that have postseason expectations. At Duke, Georgia Tech travels in, tough loss against Notre Dame last week. They looked horrible at the beginning, but they actually looked pretty good going down the stretch. And Notre Dame might be a little better than everyone expected. With that being said, we've got Georgia Tech, Duke, noon kickoff, early kickoff. Georgia Tech is still number 20 in the country. Duke and Georgia Tech go in at 2-1. First conference game for both. Who's everyone like in that game going forward? I'll start with you, Waller.
I want to go with Georgia Tech in this one. I think coming off, both teams were brought down to earth last week with their expectations. You know, the first 2 weeks were kind of sloppy games against, not sloppy, but just underachieving opponents, I guess is the best way to say that. Northwestern, good team. I don't think they're anywhere near the caliber of Notre Dame. That loss, Georgia Tech actually tried to make it a game and just ran out of gas there. And Notre Dame just had the superior team. I think overall they're going to be better and can probably exploit this defense. Duke has a great secondary, but Georgia Tech's not known for throwing the rock around. So I think you're going to see that triple threat out of the backfield just kind of unload on Duke and wear them down. Second half of this game, they should be able to bust it wide open.
Yeah, I like Georgia Tech as well. It is a road game. Duke does play pretty well at home, and they do have some talent. They can stretch the field a little bit, and they can put some pressure on that Georgia Tech running game early. If that happens, Duke could pull off the upset. The line's 7 points. I don't know if I would touch that one way or the other because of it being a road game. I don't know if Georgia Tech is actually going to be able to pull away. I think that game could be a nail-biter going down to the final possession. But Georgia Tech, to me, I still like Georgia Tech to represent the ACC in the Coastal Division for the ACC title game. You're listening to the Sunbelt Automotive ACC title drive. Give us a call here at 929-477-3987. Wyatt, who do you like in that game?
I'm with you. I think I wouldn't touch the betting line on this game, but I do think that Georgia Tech's going to hold on and beat Duke. I think Duke's got a good team this year, but you guys follow the ACC a little bit more than I do. Didn't Duke beat Georgia Tech last year?
You know, I'm not 100% positive on that one.
I think they did, and I think that this is like a revenge game. So I'm with you, though. I just don't like that. I've seen that line move around this week, and I'll have fun watching the game, you know, without a dog in the fight, so to speak. But, man, you know, that Shaquille Powell is pretty amazing, I do. But anyway, yeah, I'm going to go with Georgia Tech.
Yeah, Duke won at Georgia Tech 31-25 last year.
Gotcha. Yeah, I thought I remembered that.
Why in the world you would remember that? I don't know. But anyways,
I got a memory bank full of useless crap.
I was a big ACC fan as there is, but I don't recall that game.
we need an intern.
Yes, we do. Where you at, stat boy?
Speaking of, where is Billy?
Calls in.
Oh man, I hope he don't.
I know you don't.
He is not a fan of me.
You have dodged that bullet because the Yankees are heading to the playoffs and he hasn't called in.
Well,
kind of.
I know.
Yeah. That's actually pretty remarkable. I don't know if he's waiting for the playoffs to ask you how the Red Sox are doing or what, but
I'm surprised you didn't take a jab. Y'all hired Frank Wren, and just good luck with that. All I got to say.
Let's get back into this. LSU is at Syracuse, I believe. That's a noon kickoff. I'm thinking that's I know one thing. Rich Rodriguez is getting himself in trouble. He's got the head coach of Arizona's got a cheerleader sitting on his lap. That could not turn out well for him at the house. LSU at Syracuse at ESPN on ESPN at a 12 noon kickoff. That's going to be a snore fest. Leonard Fournette's going to add to his Heisman candidacy. They're giving up 24.5 points. If I had gun to my head, if I had to pick one, I would probably take LSU. But I never feel comfortable taking a team, giving up that many points on the road, especially after a big conference win against Auburn last week. What say you, Waller?
I don't even – I mean, I guess it's just because Syracuse is 3-0 against nobodies and it's in the Carrier Dome. People want to make a big deal out of this, but – Zach Mahoney is going to start the game today at quarterback, and before the season, he was listed as the fifth string signal caller. So, seeing as you're in a fifth string quarterback, I don't think you've got the Ohio State talent to do that. LSU should just steamroll them. I don't even think this is even worth tuning into.
I remember you said that when right around the third quarter when we're texting each other going, hey, you might want to flip it over on ESPN. Syracuse, they really haven't done anything in quite a while, which is a shame because they do have a rich tradition of football up there. I mean, this is the place that Jim Brown played at. This is the place that Donovan McNabb came from. I mean, this is the place that Marvin Harrison came from. So, I mean, they do have a rich tradition of college football. They just have had some down years in recent times. I agree with you. I've got a live tweet that everyone wanting to know who we think should be number one in the country. So that kind of rolls into this. I was going to wait till the top of the hour, but we'll go ahead and release the first Armchair Quarterback Radio Top 5 College Football. We all tallied the votes, and the votes are in. So if we were, if let's put it this way, if it ended today, this is how we would vote them in. LSU came in as our number one pick. Ohio State number two. Michigan State number three. Ole Miss number four. And TCU rounded out the top five. So I know a lot of people are probably a little surprised that LSU is number one, but this is Southern Sports Talk, so we're going to give Ohio State the back seat. Ohio State has not looked that impressive this year. I still think you probably keep them up there, everything being equal, because they are the defending national champs. And I'm not going to change my stance from last year when it was my boys, Florida State, up there. As long as they run the table, it doesn't really matter what their style points are. They'll be in the playoffs. That Michigan State-Ohio State game will be coming up in about a month, and that's going to be the game of the year in that conference. Whoever wins that game is going to basically be able to write their ticket to the playoffs. Are there any things that jump out at y'all when you look at our top five? Because basically I tally all of y'all's votes, and we're going to announce them each week on the air. But I tally all of y'all's votes, and each, you know, if you ranked a guy number one, then he got 5 points and so forth and so on. So that's how we came up with the point system for this. But Michigan State and Ohio State are going to fight. Do what?
Did you tally mine at all? I don't think I got anybody in there.
Yeah, you did.
There's Notre Dame.
Anyway.
Nobody gave any Notre Dame love?
No.
Of course not. Why would we do that?
Yours like is... Thing, let me see. Find yours.
Pope's in town. You can get all the love you want, man.
You had Ohio State number one, Michigan State number two. Shocking there, freaking Big Ten homer.
Hey, man, I thought you liked that pick.
Notre Dame 4 and UCLA 5. So three of your top five are in there.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to have to ask you to stay off the sauce because you keep forgetting what you know.
It's
Notre Dame? No, Notre Dame's not in our top five. I mean, first of all, it's early in the year, so it doesn't really matter realistically.
It's Notre Dame. Second of all,
they will be in the playoffs, Demas.
I mean,
boys are hanging around the bottom of the East. Boys will be in the playoffs.
If you look at our top five, LSU and Ole Miss are going to play each other. Ohio State and Michigan State are going to play each other. And TCU is going to play nobody. So the winner of the two showdowns at TCU will probably be in the playoffs. If they continue to play well, it's still early. We still don't know what the season holds for these teams, but we're basically just saying who looks good right now. Notre Dame has looked impressive. I still don't think they can sustain it with the injury to Malik Zaire, but we'll see. But
I'm just shocked that LSU being number one. That's pretty cool.
Do what?
I'm a little shocked at LSU being number one in ours, but that's warranted. They're playing really good football.
Well, it was a narrow margin, but they did beat out Ohio State. I mean, you know what? I like it. They've looked very good so far.
That improved me. And Ohio State.
Everyone's going to jump all over Florida State last year, saying that they were barely winning games. I mean, Ohio State is squeaking by Northern Illinois. As bad as FSU looked times last year, it wasn't the likes of Northern Illinois that they were squeaking by.
Well, I'll tell you.
Keep in mind, Virginia Tech was beating them until the quarterback got hurt.
Yep.
Exactly.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
They looked very sluggish.
They don't even look as good as Florida State did last year. I mean,
I know Mac remembers the second half of those games. Of all those games that, you know, quote unquote, Florida State struggled in, Jameis looked great in the second half. He just got off the slow start, so I don't know if he was just not awake or whatever. But I mean, they dominated the second half of those games. If you look at his quarterback rating, I think it jumped like 70 points in the between the first and second half.
It wasn't just him. I mean, that was a collective effort to look like crap in the first half every year.
True.
I mean, you can't do that alone. But this year, Ohio State has not. I mean, if you look at it, okay, not only what Waller just said with the injury to the quarterback last week at Northern Illinois, what about the first week against Virginia Tech? If that kid doesn't get hurt, if their quarterback doesn't go down, Virginia Tech might have won that game. Starting to see a trend here with Ohio State. They're just out there to hurt the quarterback. They got some Dominican Sue's running around up there in Columbus.
Hopefully Michigan State will pay attention and they'll start a backup and just dominate them with the run game.
Hey, Mac, can I take this time to personally apologize about ripping you for the Michigan State pick? They, I know it's early, I know, but they look super legit. So that was my bad.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, none of us really know what we're talking about anyway, so it doesn't matter. But
yeah, I don't apologize. I'm just just pick again.
we're all just chunking darts in the air. But
no Rainbow Warriors.
Yeah, Michigan State. I mean, they're still my pick to get to the playoffs out of the Big Ten, and they didn't do anything to hurt that prediction against Oregon a couple weeks ago.
No, Connor Cook is much better than I thought he was going to be. He's just consistent and just a hell of a quarterback in the first three games. But I mean, even over his career, he's just been a very consistent quarterback. So good on him.
Yeah, I really don't know how we got onto this Michigan State talk in the middle of the ACC title drive. I think one of the reasons is there's a lot of really bad games in the ACC this week. You know, as good as Virginia looked against Notre Dame. So think about this: if you're a Notre Dame fan, pound your chest and saying how good Notre Dame is. They squeaked by, and it took a miracle to beat Virginia on the road a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Boise State, if you missed it last night, was at Virginia. Boise State wins that game 56-14. So, yeah.
It was going to be a good game, and it got ugly, and it got ugly in a hurry. And that just all screwed.
Yeah, I mean that thing is. That got nasty. I got off work late as always, and when I got home, the first thing I wanted to do was check that game out and see where it was. Well, I went straight to Major League Baseball because there was no way I was watching that debacle. Let's take a quick break and reset and finish up the ACC title drive. Give us a call here at 929-477-3987. You're listening to ACQBRadio.com.
Armchair Quarterback Radio's Fantasy Football Hour comes your way every Sunday at 11 a.m. here on 102.1 FM and 1240 AM WFOY. Justin Waller, Brad Shelton, and Mac McGee answer all of your fantasy football news, pickups, stardoms, and sit-ems. Find Armchair Quarterback Radio on Facebook for show schedules, breaking news, and sports funnies. That's the Fantasy Football Hour every Sunday at 11 a.m. here on WFOY. Armchair Quarterback Radio, the lighter side of Southern sports.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Hi, I'm Mac McGee of the Armchair Quarterbacks. Football season is back, and the big game equals big appetites, and V-Pizza is your destination for both. V-Pizza is Napolitano-style pizza in the taste of old Italy that you've been looking for all along. Make sure to pair it with our award-winning wood oven wings and an ice cold beer from near and far. Come see us in San Marco at 1406 Hendricks Avenue or Jack's Beach at 528 First Street North. That's V-Pizza, where the secret ingredient is the ingredients.
but you see, back in old now.
Hi, I'm Mac McGee of the Armchair Quarterback. It's that time again, folks, for the Giant Tent Event Sunbelt Automotive Sale. It's going on right now on Highway 52 in Albemarle. Stop by today and save. Just to show our appreciation to our customers, not only will you get to enjoy huge savings, anyone who purchases a vehicle during the sale will get a chance at the Sunbelt Automotive Pull Board. That's right, it's back. The Sunbelt Automotive Pull Board filled with prizes, TVs, iPads, gas grills, $500 gift cards, and much, much more. So come on down to Sunbelt Automotive and listen to the Sunbelt Automotive ACC title drive every Saturday on Armchair Quarterback Radio.
We are back here on ACQBRadio.com. Give us a call at 929-477-3987. I'm sorry, that's 929-477-3987. 929-477-3987. Easy for me to say, right? We are back here with the Sunbelt Automotive ACC title drive, sitting alongside Timus Wooten, Wyatt Stringer, and Justin Waller. I'm Mac McGee, and let's finish up a little bit of ACC talk before we get into the B Pizza Hoppy Hour, the SEC Hoppy Hour, and we got the big one to talk about, that the Florida-Tennessee game on the other side of the break. So let's go ahead and finish it up. There's only been three ACC games actually played so far this season, so there's not a whole lot to talk about as far as the race, but just to go over it real quick for those of y'all that haven't been paying attention to it, the ACC standings are as is. The only teams that have actually played in the ACC so far, Florida State beat Boston College last week, Friday night. Clemson beat Louisville the day before on Thursday night on ESPN. And Wake Forest was shellacked by Syracuse. So that's it. You have three teams that are 1-0 in the Atlantic Division and three teams that are 0-1 in the Atlantic Division. No one has played in the Coastal. So this is the first week of conference play. And even a lot of the teams still aren't playing in conferences yet. A quick rundown of the games. We already talked about Georgia Tech, Duke, and LSU and Syracuse. At 12:30, the North Carolina Tar Heels will host the Delaware Fighting Blue Hens. I mean, even if you don't know anything about football, just by the name of that, you know that North Carolina is going to cruise in that sucker. Indiana is at Wake Forest. Wake Forest could be in trouble in that one. Maybe we'll touch on that here in a second. Northern Illinois, it's an interesting one. Northern Illinois that almost beat Ohio State last week is at Boston College. And that could be a good test. It could be a good litmus test for us to see how good Northern Illinois really is. Virginia Tech is at East Carolina at 3:30. Louisville is at home against Samford. Louisville, who has actually looked decent this year, but they've had such a rough schedule, is looking for their first win of the college football season. A little hard to believe. They lost by a touchdown to Auburn. They lost by 3 points to Houston, and they lost by 3 points to Clemson. So Louisville's trying to get off the schneid and get their first win in 2015. North Carolina State is 3-0 at South Alabama. They should take care of business. That game is at 8 p.m. So that's your ACC slate for today. Any games jump out at you? We'll start with Timus Wooten.
No. I'm just not a fan of all of the ACC, and those games just sound as boring as whale poop to me.
All right. Thanks for that insight. Waller.
You're welcome, America.
Yeah, there's a couple. I really like the Northern Illinois Boston College. I'm going to say it's Northern Illinois.
I'm excited really to shit. I want to know the litmus test. Florida State beat Boston College 14-0 in Boston.
Yeah.
Boston's defense looked really good. Their offense looked horrible. I don't think Florida State's that good this year. I guess my point is, what if Northern Illinois goes into Boston College and gets their hats handed to them? People might start having a different look at Ohio State.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying right there. You're going to get a litmus test for, I mean, I guess you as well. I didn't even think of it from that aspect. Florida State fans can really kind of line up where they are based on this performance. And I kind
we're
of
not in a
from
good
that
place.
Aspect
I'm going to say that
Ohio
right
State.
Now. We FSU needed this bye week. We needed it bad. I do have to take pause.
Did Pender have a collapsed lung this week?
Yeah, Pender has a collapsed lung. He looks to be back by the October 3rd game, if nothing else, by the October 10th game at home against Miami. It's amazing because if I had a collapsed lung, I mean, I'd be out for, you know, the next 6 to 8 years. The bye week couldn't come at a better time for FSU because we play Wake Forest next week, and then after that it's Miami. As critical as I've been on Florida State so far, I do have to always try to remind myself, yes, Everett Golson's a senior, but he's brand new to this offense, and he looks confused. So I'm hoping a couple of weeks of practice will – you know, basically, let's be honest, that's what the Wake Forest game should be, is practice. That will get us prepared for the Miami game. But they do not look good so far. So I was impressed by the defense. I did not see them shutting out Boston College. Because Boston College gave us fits last year. Physically, they gave us fits. And that was a pretty decent Florida State defense last year. I mean, they gave us fits. I mean, their style of play is very physical, so I'm interested to see what they're going to do to Northern Illinois, because you got to figure Northern Illinois did put a lot in the bank as far as emotions last week. How much do they have left, and they're going to go into Boston College and play a physical Eagle team? I agree. I'm excited about that one. You said you had two. What was the other one that you were interested in?
I like the NC State at South Alabama. And I'm probably going to get a ringing. My phone's about to blow up. But I think South Alabama could give NC State a game here if they're not paying attention. It's in Mobile. And, you know, I mean, they lost to Nebraska. Wasn't a just complete dominating performance by Nebraska. And then they beat San Diego State. Talking about South Alabama, they could give NC State a close game here. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk. I hope NC State pulls it out, friends that are Wolfpack fans. But it's not going to be the cakewalk that you just, little cupcake you see on the schedule. I think that could be a close game. Again, that'll probably be one you'll text me in the third quarter. State will be up 58-0. I'm like, yeah, cupcake. But if they don't have their minds right going down into Mobile, South Alabama could give NC State a tough game. Be a good one later tonight, not much on, probably something good to watch. And Louisville was the only other one I want to comment. Man, is that not the best 0-3 team? That's a good 0-3 team.
I've picked them every week, Waller, and I've gotten my heart broken every time. I mean, it's like, man, they look good. They look really, really good.
They will win this week. Lose. You write that down. I will guarantee that. They will win.
I am
a little interested in the Syracuse game, because Syracuse is undefeated. Now they haven't played a particularly impressive schedule yet, but they are undefeated. There's something to be said for that. It's at home. The Carrier Dome's always a difficult place to play. It's loud in there. I expect LSU to take care of business, but you just wonder if they go on the road into the Carrier Dome, if they might have a difficult time. I expect them to win, but they might have a difficult time, especially early on in the ball game. I think eventually Leonard Fournette's just going to wear anybody down. But I mean,
would you be shocked if Syracuse won? I mean, like you said, they are undefeated. Out of conference.
I mean, you got to be shocked because they're a 24.5-point dog. And heck,
yeah, and I couldn't believe that line.
They're our number one team in the country. I mean, you got to have a little bit of a shock.
Yeah, I mean, it would be shocking, but I don't think it would be like Michigan losing to Appalachian State or anything. You know, it'd be like,
I mean,
okay.
It's not far from.
Oh, I think it's that kind of show.
Yeah,
really.
LSU looks like they're the winners of the West, right?
It would
now.
Dominate.
I mean,
let me put it this way: it would dominate SportsCenter tonight and tomorrow morning.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm with you. I mean, Fournette is just, just getting the Heisman now, but. Yeah, it's an interesting game to me. I don't see them covering the 24 points for sure.
I think it would be a huge shock, and I also think that man, would you have a lot of LSU Tiger fans calling for Les Miles' head? You talk about some sports.
Oh, that might be gone if that happens.
Yeah, you're talking about a spoiled fan base. They're constantly complaining about Les Miles. Like, oh, yeah, that guy's horrible. He just gets you to national title games and SEC title games and in the thick of things every year. Yeah, get rid of that
without
guy.
Without a great quarterback.
Can you imagine what would happen down there, man? The Saints lost to the Bucks last week, and then if Syracuse shocks LSU, they'll burn that city to the ground.
Yeah. Once you bring
that
back
region,
Chris
I guess
Archer.
They're not the same city, but they'll burn that region to the ground.
They'll burn the state to the ground.
Once you bring back Chris Archer, let me know how that works out for you. I don't know if you remember that guy, but he came to LSU in the early 90s, and he was being touted as the next great young college football mind. And if you don't remember Chris Archer, it's because he sucked. They had to fire him.
And
yeah,
we lost the listener. Sorry, Chris.
Exactly. All right, we're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking SEC football on the V Pizza SEC Hoppy Hour.
1, 2, 3, 4. Well, pizza is delicious. Vegetables are nice. I can show you why. I love pizza pie.
It's football time in Jacksonville, and that can only mean two things. Armchair Quarterback Radio and V Pizza. Stop off in at the new location at 12601 San Jose Boulevard in Jacksonville. That's in Mandarin, just north of the Julington Creek Bridge. They have 44 beers on tap and a brand new tap garden. Fresh ingredients and a Napolitana-style pizza that can't be beat, and our award-winning wood oven wings. If you like a little spice, try the Calabrian wings. We're open for lunch and dinner. Wednesday night, we have trivia. We'll also have live music on the weekends and the NFL Sunday ticket. That's right, football fans. If you're an NFL fan and you can't see your team, come on into V Pizza, where one of your 44 beers on tap will go great with a Carnivora, Deladone, Pizza Palo, or our award-winning Wood Oven Wings. And after you get your fill with pizza and beer on your way out, grab yourself some gelato. That's V Pizza and Mandarin, where the secret ingredient is the ingredients.
Well, I believe I'll have me a beer, 'cause it ain't sold in heaven. You gotta buy it right here, and you can't take it with you.
Armchair Quarterback Radio's Fantasy Football Hour comes your way every Sunday at 11 a.m. here on 102.1 FM and 1240 AM WFOY. Justin Waller, Brad Shelton, and Mac McGee answer all of your fantasy football news, pickups, stardoms, and sit-ems. Find Armchair Quarterback Radio on Facebook for show schedules, breaking news, and sports funnies. That's the Fantasy Football Hour every Sunday at 11 a.m. here on WFOY. Armchair Quarterback Radio, the lighter side of Southern sports. Give us a call here at 929-477-3987. That's 929-477-3987. You're listening to Armchair Quarterback Radio. Moving over to WFOY on Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. on 102.1 FM and 1240 a.m. in the Jacksonville-St. Augustine area. And
news broke Thursday, so we are excited to be partnering with WFOY. Hopefully more shows to come. We're looking at down the road in the near future, as soon as we get the sponsor backing, to have this show on WFOY as well. I've got to get there and pound the pavement and talk to some folks, but we will get it done. It is the SEC Hoppy Hour, and there is no better way to start off the SEC Hoppy Hour, especially this week, than...
some of that, Seamus.
Okay, we are talking Tennessee. We are talking Florida. Give us a call here at 929-477-3987. I'm starting to read some of these signs on game day. A couple of them were pretty good.
ESPN stole my first sign. I've actually been there and had that happen before, so I can relate to that.
That is pretty funny. So Tennessee, Florida, it's a pick'em game. It's in Gainesville, 10-year winning streak on the line. Teamus, go ahead and defend your boys and tell me why they're going to make it number 11 this year.
Well, as I said before, two or three things need to go right for Florida. We can't turn the ball over. Losing Tabor for punishment is, you know, his suspension for this game, that's going to hurt us. I'm really starting to like McElwain a lot. He's really doing everything he can to change the culture down there. And in order to do that, you're going to have to break a few eggs. And he's wanting his players to be good people first and then great football next. So, you know, they're kids. They got to learn. I don't think losing Treyon Harris is going to hurt us much. Greer is our quarterback now. I like him. I'm worried about the secondary. I don't think Tennessee is going to be able to run the ball all that well against us if our defense shows up the way it has. I like it that it's in Gainesville. I still just don't know what all this team is about yet. I mean, because we're eking by teams that we've always ran over, but we're still winning. So, I mean, this game could go either way. I want the Gators to win, obviously. I believe that we're going to win this game, but Tennessee's good. Tennessee's much improved, and Butch has that program going in a very, very good direction if you're a Vols fan. So, I mean, I thought last year was their year to beat us, but they definitely can beat us this year. They definitely can. So let's hope number 11 happens today. Go Gators. We'll see. We'll see. Whiskey is in one hand, beer's in the other. We'll see what the second half brings.
Why in the – the Jags. I guess they're playing a team with the name of the Jags. I'm watching the Georgia – I guess that's Southern News. I guess it's the Southern Jaguars. So I'm watching ESPN, and the Georgia team bus is being rocked by the mascot, and it's swaying pretty good. Like, I really feel like if they swayed it much worse, the thing would flip over. But you see the little sign, and it's saying University of Georgia, go Dogs, and it says beat the Jags. And of course, you know, living here in Jacksonville, my first thought is – I mean, come on, dude. Get off us, man. We finally won a game. Get off us. But okay.
So you didn't hear a word I said then, clearly. Rock the bus.
Well, man, I mean, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, but the Georgia mascot rocking the Georgia bus is a little more entertaining than that stuff you just droned on about. Hey, look at the bright side. You don't have Muschamp anymore. That could only help
you.
Don't.
Yeah, it has.
I think it's kind of funny that Gus Malzahn in his I just always feel like he's kind of egotistical. He's kind of a jerk. I think it's kind of funny that he's brought on Muschamp and done nothing but hurt his chances of winning a championship there in Auburn. I think Tennessee's a lot better than Florida this year. Last year, I felt like they were pretty even. And it showed on the scoreboard. It was a 10-9 victory by Florida. Tennessee should have won that game last year. They were
Tennessee beat Florida
9-0 in the fourth quarter. Butch Jones has done this a few times in his career, and it's kind of made me worrisome. A good friend of both Waller and I was on the phone with him the other night, Lawson, and he just kept going back to the fact that he's a little worried that, and I can see it, that Butch Jones, when he gets in these big games, he plays not to lose. If you look at the Florida game, if you look at the Oklahoma game, a couple other games that Tennessee has had a chance to put a team away when they get a lead, I want to see them go for the jugular today. I don't know what your thought is on it, Waller, but I want to see that when you're up 10 points, when you're up 17 points, that you continue to play your game and you pound the rock, but you also do the play action, that you still continue to go after the Florida secondary to put pressure on them, because the more points you're putting up on the board, not only are you increasing your chance of wins, but you're putting pressure on Florida's offense to score. And
which has not gone well.
As I'm saying this, all it keeps flashing down there on College Game Day is nothing but stats that point to the direction of Florida winning. But anyways,
I have a question for Waller on this. Why doesn't Butch run that quarterback more? Because they were winning when he was running outside and then, running the ball a little more. And then, all of a sudden, they just stopped that. And
well, the biggest
I'll
reason
– I'll let you answer that after he rushes for 3 touchdowns on you today.
Well, I'm hoping I'm just curious. It doesn't seem like he's allowing
him
to run more, and it has been working. I'm glad it – I mean, I don't want them to win, obviously. I'm just curious. I mean –
I think 2 reasons. Well, 1, he's holding it for SEC play. And 2, he can't chance Dobbs getting hurt. Dormady is nowhere near ready to take over this offense. You've got to protect Dobbs. I mean, our offensive line's getting killed as it is.
Number 3, and probably the biggest reason why he doesn't run him more often, is that to be able to have a good running game, you have to have eyebrows. And, Dobbs just doesn't have eyebrows.
I don't know, though, man. He ought to be able to hit it in the wind. He's like a swimmer, you got to be aerodynamic, be able to cut through the air. He's clean-shaven, ought to have no drag. He damn near might be able to fly. I mean, no eyebrows might give you that power, because he dang sure doesn't have them. And I hate when they show his mom on the sideline. I'm not picking on her, but he definitely got it from his mom, because she ain't got none either.
Oh, really? You
ought to see he's a funny-looking fella. Just wait till you see that sideline glance. I almost say you can judge it for yourself. And I love you, Dobbs, man. You're my boy. I need you to win today. You end this streak, I'll buy you a pair of eyebrows.
We lost
I'm back. It took me I got dropped again. I don't know why, but I got dropped again, so I missed anything and Waller just said, except he's buying somebody eyebrows.
Yeah, well, because he went into – well, it doesn't matter now, but he gave his top 2 reasons, and my number 3 reason was the fact that to be able to have a good running game, you got to have eyebrows. But, if you run a guy too much and he doesn't have eyebrows, he's going to start to sweat, and how's he going to keep the sweat out of his eyes?
That's just science. That's true.
That's just science, man. I mean, I'm just breaking
an alien anyway. He might not sweat. He's an alien.
He's internet connection obviously is horrible there in Chicago. So from time to time, we've been losing them all or so. I don't know how to give you a heads up on that.
Fascist Gators. I'm going to try not to talk smack. I've been trying for 15 minutes to come up to a clean way to say what I want to say, but I can't come up with it, so I'm not going to trash talk. I'm just going to say on paper, we should absolutely dominate this game. But it goes back to what me and you were saying on the phone earlier the week when I said Butch Jones and his coaching staff has this David versus Goliath mentality where they've been David their entire career, and now it's time to be Goliath. Like you said, you got to step on the jugular. You got to cut the jugular. You got to – don't let up. That's what happened against Oklahoma. We had that game. We got conservative, played not to lose. And, you know, I think was a
there
good loss.
There is never a reason to lose at home to anybody when you have a 17-point lead in your house. There's never a reason
care.
To lose that.
If Steve Spurrier wants to get mad or not, saying I'm running the score up, I don't care. Any of these coaches that have ever, you're running the score. Tough. Learn how to play defense. That's your job. Do not ever stop playing the game. That's how good teams come back and beat you. And this Florida team will be good. Right now is the time we need to beat them. McElwain's going to turn it around. Their defense is already only allowing 55 rushing yards. I mean, granted, it's against Kentucky and East Carolina, and I can't even remember who else they played. It was a nobody. So this is actually their first big test, and it's been a long time since they can say that Tennessee is going to be a test for them. So I know they got the hype of 10 years. I hope they're just chugging along. I hope they're all sitting on the bus right now, toking up, getting hired and crap, and we come out and catch them sleeping and just jump on them early and pound them. But we have the better team this year. Do we have the staff that can have that killer instinct? And Ole Miss had killer instinct last week. I do not see that out of Tennessee in the Florida game last year or the Oklahoma game this year. We cut it off. Ole Miss never quit, kept coming, and they stuck it to Alabama. We have to do that to beat Florida today.
I agree that Tennessee is the better team this year. They were the better team last year, too. Florida didn't beat Tennessee last year. Tennessee beat Tennessee. And, you know, the streak and all that, that doesn't matter. I don't really care so much about the streak because, I mean, that's a year gone. You know, we're a completely different team. We got a completely different coach. So as far as all that, you know, it's great that Tennessee hasn't beat us in 10 years and all that. That side of it's good, but I don't – Tennessee wants to win this game every year just as bad as Florida wants to win it. So, you know, the streak doesn't mean a whole lot to me. But I don't want to lose to Tennessee ever. So no more than they want to lose to Florida.
Bottom line, we don't like each other's programs. We never will.
We don't
it's
like
not
each other's
change.
Team. We don't. No. And it's great for college football that it is that way, you know. I mean –
I've been
I hope
in Florida
we win.
All week.
I don't know if we're
going to.
I mean, we're not going in there with Tebow, you know, okay, it doesn't matter if we get it within, you know, third and three, we're automatically going to win because Tebow's just going to run over everybody. We don't have that anymore. We don't, I mean, there's so many unanswered questions as far as Florida's team this year. I can't really say a whole lot because, one, we haven't really played anybody, and
To stretch our defense, Florida's going to have successful running game to where we got to pull the safety up in the box. Because if you can get man coverage outside, you've seen deep threats. Bowling Green exploited us. Oklahoma did it later in the game. Once the running game gets going and the safety's got to help out and you leave them man coverage outside, we're exploitable. That has got to be something. Our front has got to stop the running game to prevent McElwain from doing that, which we already know is his style of football. So if you can have success with that, I think your offense can give us a hell of a game today. And on the flip side, Tennessee's got to do the same thing. We got to learn to be able to stretch the ball. I think we've had two plays for over 20 yards to the outside of the field. The receivers that we have on this team, we haven't even used them this year. We got to be more one-dimensional than just running the ball. We got to be able to – we've got studs out there, and we can't even get them the ball. So Dobbs has got to settle down, and he's got to play a good game today. I mean, it truly is a pickle.
Our secondary deep is sketchy at best. I'm pretty curious to see Tennessee's offensive line again, because Florida's defense is by far, in a way, our strongest asset going into today. And, Hargraves and all those guys, our defensive line pushed people around all season. So I'm kind of, but then again, like I said, Tennessee is the best team we've played all year. So this is going to be a tattletale game for both sides, I think. It's going to show where are we. Like McGee said a couple weeks ago, if Tennessee is on the right track, which it looks like they are, they need to beat Florida. And they can't be losing to, still to the same people. And if Florida wants to prove that they've turned things around, we need to continue to beat the people we beat. So this game's up in the air. It's going to be fun to watch. I'm really hoping that the kids next door are going to be sleeping or something, because there's going to be a lot of swearing going on. But
welcoming in onto the show, who do we have here on Armchair Quarterback Radio?
Hey guys, it's Tony. How are you?
Good. How are you, Tony?
Doing good, man. I'm on my way to Florida, Tennessee. We're sitting in traffic in Stark, and I got your tweet, so I thought I'd check in with you guys. Hopefully everything's going well.
Yeah, awesome. If you missed the news, starting a week from tomorrow, we are going to be on 102.1 FM WFOY every week for our fantasy football show. We'll eventually bring the college football show as well.
All right, man. Well, yeah, let me send it to me on Twitter, and I'll help you guys get the word out. But, excited. I caught the tail end of what the other guy had said about the game today. And, it's kind of a – it's always a season-defining game. The last couple of years, they've kind of mixed around the order of Florida-Tennessee. I think it was in October the last couple of years. I like it the way it is now. But, one where the winner's in a good spot and the loser is going to kind of struggle to regroup, especially with the Gators, because we've got, of course, Ole Miss coming to town next week, and then LSU and Missouri on the road. So October looks to be a pretty tough stretch for us.
Yeah, I really wish that they would go back to what they used to do years ago when they made this used to be the first CBS night game of the year, and they kind of got out of the habit of that. I really think that would be such a fun environment if Tennessee and Florida were playing tonight in Gainesville under the lights. It's still going to be a fun, exciting game, but as a fan driving over right now, do you prefer the night games down in the swamp, or do you like the 3:30 kickoff?
It's funny because when night games were more rare, I liked them because you really only got like one or two a year at the most, and they were always giant games. But now, with SEC Network, it's, Florida Vanderbilt might be a night game this year. So it's kind of taken it away a little bit, like how I don't need every game to be at night. We only live about an hour and 10 minutes away from Gainesville. So sometimes it is nice to have the noon kickoff and you get home around 6 or 7 instead of, one or two in the morning, like we've done the last, New Mexico State and East Carolina. So this will be – Ole Miss will be 3 night games out of 4. So that gets a little old sometimes. But if it's a big game and it's at night, it's tough to beat that. But when it's like Florida Vanderbilt at night, that's a little I don't need that game to be at night myself.
No, that needs to be like 9 o'clock in the morning for breakfast.
I like that.
I'm going over on October 10th to Tallahassee to the Florida State-Miami game. Now, I do hope that's a 3:30 kickoff, because I got to be at work the next day, and the last thing I need is for that thing to be in. You know, if it's 8 o'clock kickoff in Tallahassee, game's not going to get over until almost midnight. Not going to get home till about 3 in the morning.
Yeah, that makes it tough, especially there, because, you know, it's a little bit like games where they jack up the hotel prices and all that kind of stuff when they've got a weekend night game.
Right, and plus, I mean, any time that you're surrounded by Miami fans, you do not want it to be nighttime. You want to be able to see all the knives and guns that they're hiding.
Exactly.
So,
what do you think about today?
I think Tennessee wins. I think they win. They've got the much better team, but what we were talking about a little while ago is we do feel like that in these big games, Butch Jones has been playing not to lose as opposed to win. They were up 17-0 at home against Oklahoma. There was no excuse to lose that game. So I think they have the better team. I think they should win by 2 touchdowns. But what I think will happen is I think they finally get a win in Florida, but it's going to be a nail-biter. It's going to be down to like a field goal, 4-point kind of win, because he does not seem to – I don't know if it's a lack of confidence or what it is, but when he gets a lead, he doesn't continue to pour it on. He almost starts looking up, okay, well, I've got a 14-point lead. There's 8 minutes left. That means I need to get 5 first. Like, he starts thinking that immediately and doesn't use the talent around him. So I like Florida to keep it close. Tennessee 27, Florida 24.
Yeah, I've got Florida like 21-17, but I'm not all that confident in it. The Tennessee offense and versus Florida's defense, I think, will be a good match. I think Jalen Hurd's a good running back. I know the kid, and got it. Of course, my brain freezes. I can't remember the kid's name. The transfer from he went to Bama
Alan and Kamara.
College, and yeah, he is a great weapon, and they make a good 1-2 punch. I think you know, they're good at wide receiver. I think they get Pick Howard back this week. But the thing with Dobbs is they've got to let Dobbs run that read option, and they've got to let him have the choice to run the ball, because we saw it last year with, in the beginning of the year with Driscoll, when he was coming back from his broken leg from 2013, when they try to run that read option and the defense knows that the quarterback's not going to keep it, it's why bother even running it? Cause you're not fooling anybody. On the other side though, that Florida offense against Tennessee's defense, I think will be a good matchup, but I think that one favors Tennessee. Tennessee's got a big physical defensive line. Florida's offensive line's a work in progress, kind of, you know, a bunch of guys thrown together. I think we're pretty good at tackle, but the center position and right guard have just been getting destroyed earlier in the year. But they've got to get the ball out of Greer's hands quickly, and Greer has to stop. Once he gets the snap, he's got to stop looking at the rush first and then looking – scanning the field for receivers. What he's doing, he's looking at the rush, and by the time you try and look up, you're already swimming upstream, and then he's got to tuck it and go. And he ran well against Kentucky, but you can't do that all game. He's not built like that. The last quarterback we had that was built like that was, you know, 6'3" and 250, and he's on SEC Network now. And you can get away with doing that when you're built like him, but Greer's about 210, soaking wet, and He's been good about not taking big hits, because he'll get down. He's not going to slide, but he'll get down and avoid a big hit. But he took one in the third quarter where he landed on the football, and I think it bothered him the rest of the game the other night. But special teams. I think Tennessee's got the advantage there too. I think we're kicking the ball okay. I know Tennessee struggled at kicker. Townsend's an okay punter. But our return game hasn't done anything really yet this season.
I do like Greer. I don't like him in this game as a matchup. Dobbs has the advantage, but I think going forward, Greer's got a heck of a career in front of him. And it was definitely
I'm excited about Greer. I'm excited about Greer. I think he's got a lot of upside. Treon Harris, even if he didn't get in trouble, I think we've seen as good as Harris can play, and even you know, he'll have a guy wide open and he'll just kind of, you know, it's different when Werfel would shot put the ball out there and lead a guy by 20 yards and, you know, let Riddell Anthony or Ike Hilliard run under it. But Harris kind of, he's got a weird motion. He doesn't have a, he can't really zip the ball in. And when he's supposed to lead a guy by 20 or 30 yards, he leads him by like 5 or 10, and it ends up being a jump ball and a disaster. So, you know, Greer might throw a pick six to lose a game, but he'll, you know, chances are he'll make a play or two to win you a game before it's over with as well. I'm excited about this year with Greer and a couple more hopefully down the road.
Tony, you are a golf fan, right? Aren't you a golfer?
Yes, sir.
If you will inbox me on the ACQB Radio Twitter, yep. If you'll inbox me your address, we will send you a pack of Armchair Quarterback Radio scoresies. They are koozies that keep your golf score. And if you'll just inbox me your info, we'll get those out to you this week.
All right, I will definitely do that. So I'll let you guys go. We're about to hit Waldo, which means we're probably about 20 minutes away from the promised land. But good luck to your Vols today.
Go Gators!
Yeah, go Gators, and I'll talk to you guys soon. I'll call in Saturday. We got a night game next Saturday, so just remind me, and I'll call in. We'll recap today's game.
Okay, cool. And like I said, the Sunday morning fantasy football show will be on 11 a.m. on 102.1 FM, 1240 a.m., starting a week from tomorrow.
All right. Well, send me the information, and good luck, you guys.
Will do.
Thanks,
Tony.
All right, man. See you guys.
Well, I like him.
Yeah, he's a lot better than you.
I was just about to say, team has sounded off first. I was going to say, well, that's the first Gator fan. I actually like him more than Tamus. Oh, he can call in more often. I felt bad. I didn't want to talk any crap. It's all right, though.
Thanks,
I just
guys.
Hope y'all. I just hope he's safe down there. That's why y'all are wondering why it's not a night game. I mean, you know, just think about it. Where is it at?
I'd be safe right now because he said he's about to hit Waldo. That is one of the worst speed traps in the United States. For anyone that's ever traveling through Waldo, Florida, would just watch your back. The stretch of highway on Waldo isn't very long. I think it's like 3 or 4 miles. And at one point, they led the nation in that speeding ticket. They eventually
had
to change.
Got several from there.
Yeah, they eventually had to actually change the laws in Florida on how – basically what they were doing years ago is that you'd be going down the road, we'll say 65 miles an hour. The little stretch in Waldo would jump down to 45 and you wouldn't have any heads up and you would just get popped like that and the police would just sit right there. So they eventually changed the rules and or the laws in Florida where it had to gradually come down, but they still sit there because that's pretty much that's their number one income in Waldo is speeding tickets. So if you are going to the game, just watch your back in Waldo. We're going to take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to finish up our predictions on Tennessee-Florida and get into a couple of other SEC games. Give us a call here at 929-477-3987. That's 929-477-3987. You're listening to the V-Pizza SEC Hoppy Hour. Armchair Quarterback Radio's Fantasy Football Hour comes your way every Sunday at 11 a.m. here on 102.1 FM and 1240 a.m. WFOY. Justin Waller, Brad Shelton, and Mac McGee answer all of your fantasy football news, pickups, stardoms, and sit-ems. Find Armchair Quarterback Radio on Facebook for show schedules, breaking news, and sports funnies. That's the Fantasy Football Hour every Sunday at 11 a.m. here on WFOY. Armchair Quarterback Radio, the lighter side of Southern sports. Are you a sports fan and looking for something a little different across the board in the world of sports? If so, Armchair Quarterback Radio might be what you're looking for. SEC, ACC, a little bit of Big Ten talk every Saturday morning on the college football tailgate, as well as anything under the world of sports that'll make you laugh your ass off. Join Mac McGee, Justin Waller, Timus Wooten, and Wyatt Stringer every Saturday morning for the Armchair Quarterback Radio College Football Tailgate. Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, all the way up until kickoff. You can listen to us on Blog Talk Radio or just go straight to our website at acqbradio.com. We take calls, 929-477-3987. Talk about anything you want to talk about and win big prizes. Also, make sure to go to our Facebook page, Armchair Quarterback Radio, and join in with all the fun as well as contests and prizes every single week, every single show, all year long. Follow us on Twitter at ACQB Radio. That's Armchair Quarterback Radio, the lighter side of sports with the Southern Voice. We are back. Give us a call.
Leave your guns out in your prayer.
4-7-3.
Come on in. Sit down and buck up this bar and help us sing along. We don't shoot no guns in this honky tonk.
Little Jamie Johnson for you. Kind of fitting with Florida to Tennessee weekend. Right upon us. We're talking about 3:30 kickoff today. 4 hours from now, we're going to be seeing the ball launched off down there in the swamp, and the Vols running it back for a touchdown. Where you at, Waller?
Yeah, baby. Woo. I'm jacked up, man. I can't contain myself no more.
It finally feels like football season's here. I'm not going to lie. These first few weeks have seemed kind of blasé, other than the Tennessee-Oklahoma game. I haven't really been excited about much. It's really been kind of a slow start to college football season. But I feel like this, when you get into the conference games, into the big conference games, the big conference rivals, that's when you really get into, the feeling, the hatred, the rivalries, the love for your team, the hatred for the other team. That's when it feels like college football. The next few weeks, I was looking at the schedule. There's some big games coming on, especially all around the Southeast. And, heck, next week, here's just a little precursor. Notre Dame goes to Clemson, and that should be the ESPN Game Day site. And that's probably going to be the ABC game of the week. So that's just one of many games that are heading our way here in the Southeast. But Florida-Tennessee has our full attention this week because the beauty of this game, there's not much else going on this week that I would say excites me. BYU-Michigan kicks off at the top of the hour. That's a fun, interesting game to watch as a college football fan, but not really one that really, wet your lips, so to speak. What you're really looking forward to are the conference games like Tennessee-Florida. So
this is the game of the weekend. These teams hate each other. These fan bases don't like each other. This is the game right here.
So I got Tennessee 27-24. Tony, who called in, likes Florida 21-17. Timus, where are you at on this?
I'm going to say 24-21 Florida.
24-21 Florida. Waller, where are you at with it?
Man, my gut says it's going to be 30-27, just like it was, or 30-28, just like it was in 2004. We'll kick a game-winning field goal. But I'm not going to go with my gut. I'm going with what I see on paper and what I think this team can do. And I want to piss off everybody in the swamp. So there you go. 35-17 Volunteers. I hope you hear Rocky Top until you puke your guts out and you all go home very upset. Good.
It won't take long.
Woo! I mean, I'll go ahead and get it started. We'll just – come on. Cue the music again, Mike.
Maybe if we lose this year in our own stadium
down in the
Sorry, T. What were you saying?
Pull out of me. I'm starting to bleed. Maybe if we lose in the swamp this year, that we can do like Tennessee fans did last year and just chant "FU Tennessee" on the way out. Because that was really classy of Tennessee fans last year.
Well, good. Maybe Butch Jones will pull a must chant and say, "Loves disappointing Florida fans."
Yeah, it's good college football's back. I've missed this.
The biggest thing for me out of this game is I want to see what we learned from the Oklahoma game. Man, I think that could be the biggest thing that ever happened to this Tennessee coaching program and this current roster, man. That game was a heartbreaker. It was stolen. We had it won. We gave up and got conservative. Man, we should go in here and go full Aaron Hernandez on these boys, give them a little dose of their own medicine.
Well, when I watched that Tennessee collapse, I was like, man, I'm really hoping Florida doesn't pay for that. But you're probably right. I mean, Butch is smart enough that he's never going to let that happen again, you know. So I was thinking they're just going to – if they get the pedal down, they're not going to let off of it. There's a possibility that that could happen. Could you turn that crap off, please, so I can hear myself think?
Turn it up.
Okay.
Banjo.
I've had years of cramped up city life, traveled like a duck in a pen. All I know is it's a pity life can't be simple again.
All right, I'll give you a break.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, we make fun of Alabama fans, but Butch ain't seen nothing if he blows a lead in this game. I laugh at Alabama fans, and I make fun of them. Brad does as well. He ain't seen crazy until he pulls another Oklahoma and Florida wins today, if that is the outcome. If we have a lead and we blow it like last year, oh, buddy, man. Bama fans are about to get
trailer
a lot of ammunition.
Be ablaze. It'll look like dominoes from Knoxville to Memphis.
Oh, it'll be ugly. And I hate to say that, but I'll probably be drunk by that point. It's my sister's
Here's the
birthday.
Thing. If you're a Tennessee fan and you lose this game.
Shut up, Timus.
You're eventually going to be like, when are we going to win this game? Because
hey, we need to get Waller's sister for this
better.
Game too, by the way.
Do
I'll burn her house down.
I love that girl, man.
My sister, it's her birthday party tonight, and we're going to be watching the game. And if she does a 7-point win on me, I will burn her house down. You ain't got to worry about the trailer park. I'm going for brick and mortar, baby. I will even videotape it and send it to you, Timus.
Waller's going to be on Cops. Oh, Lord, he's going to be... We're going to be the first live tweets from prison. Well, I mean, it would be great if they made you set fire to the trailer park, buddy. I would be really happy to hear that. But this could go really bad for Florida. I mean, I can't really talk a lot. I didn't really want to talk any smack last year, especially. We're better than we are last year, so was Tennessee. Tennessee's way better than we are this year. But – they have, you know, we always show up to play them. Same for them. So it's going to be good, man. I'm, like I said, I got beer in one hand, whiskey in the other. Let's see how the day goes. Let's see who wins. Is it Budweiser or John Jameson?
I got gas and matches. We better get this win. I feel like an Eminem song.
You're not even. And you know what? It's a little shady, McGee. I'm just going to say right now that you haven't played the Florida Fight song once. I hope you have a terrible Christmas.
I thought I had – you know what, Timus, and I apologize. That I thought I had the thing loaded, and I've been scrolling through, and I can't find it. So
that's
I thought
a
I had it loaded.
Story that I would
it.
Believe
you want me to play it
if
for you?
Steven – no, I do not.
Would you
I do
like
not
to hear
because I don't believe
bad boys,
I would
bad
not.
Boys, what you going to do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Isn't that the theme song for Florida?
No, that's the theme song for the University of Miami.
Oh, well, I thought y'all had more prisoners right now. Isn't Hernandez leading, like, Florida Nation inside there?
Yeah, but that was after college. That doesn't count.
Always bringing up old stuff.
Oh. But a minute ago,
that's what,
yeah, you Florida fans were talking about Danny Warfel. He's after college. We're bringing him back up.
Yeah.
All I can see is the retard clap happening in my head right now.
Wow. Yes.
Are you happy?
I am happier.
Yeah, it'll be the only time you hear it today. I'm glad we could accommodate you, Timmy.
Oh, God.
So,
if you're watching the SEC Network right now, they're showing Lane Kiffin as the head coach of Tennessee. How'd that work out for you?
The one of the owners, his wife last night, was telling me at work that they were going to the game. Neither one are big Florida fans. He went to UNF and she went to Old Dominion. But they're pulling for Florida because they live here in Jacksonville. And I asked her, I said, well, are you ready for Rocky Top? She goes, what's a Rocky Top? I was like, oh, wait till I see you next week. She's like, what do you mean? I said, trust me, win or lose, you'll know that song by the end of that game. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I just kind of walked away and left it at that. I can't wait to see her next week. She'll come in there. Win or lose, I'm just going to be like, so did you figure out what Rocky Top was? Everyone's reaction, if they're not a Tennessee fan, if they go to their first Tennessee football game, good God, can you play anything else?
Seriously, God. Is that June Carter singing that song? Is that who that is?
No.
Itself?
No, it's the Osborne Brothers. It's an old song. That song.
Dude?
Was, yeah, that was a... That was a hit long before it was ever Tennessee's fight song.
Long before he hit puberty, too, apparently.
He was he's just one of those classic Sopranos.
And really, you're an Aerosmith fan, and you're going to talk about dudes.
Yeah, I know that's
puberty.
Right.
I mean,
know that.
Come
right.
on.
I mean,
hey, let's not bring Aerosmith into this.
That guy went straight from puberty to menopause.
I don't know why we're celebrating Jenner. I mean, hell, Steven Tyler's looked that way for years.
Yeah, he's not attractive. I mean, I don't want to sleep with the guy. I just like his music.
Oh, my God.
He's uglier in Homemade Sin. There's no doubt about that.
I always spit soda everywhere. They do look alike. I never thought about
that.
Yeah,
they do.
It's pretty fun. They could definitely be sisters.
He's a diehard fan.
Oh, that reminds me. Well, shoot, I almost forgot to play the damn thing. Did you, any of y'all catch the South Park
I can tell you already, no. I never watched that show.
No, I didn't. Hit me with it.
They're Tom Brady.
No, but it sounds hilarious already.
Oh, my God. So basically, it's not important what the plot of the show was, but basically Eric Cartman had decided that he was going to conform because he had broken the rules of the school, and he got suspended for 4 days. Obviously, we're going off of 4 games. And they came to him and basically said, wait a minute, Eric, what are you doing? Who's your hero? And he says Tom Brady and yada yada yada, and he basically goes on this rant about how if football's taught us anything, it's that you can break the rules and get away with it. So this is the clip. This is pretty damn funny.
Breaking the rules.
I always forget how funny that show is, man. That show cracks me up. I rarely ever watch it, but it is just hilarious. But anyways, I don't even know how we got on that, but yeah. God, they're on like season, I think they said season 18 or 19. South Park's been around that long. But they always crack me up because they always grab something that's in the headlines like that and just run with it. I thought that was pretty clever. So Tennessee, Florida, we've kind of gone over that. There really isn't a whole lot of other SEC games, but the ones that we probably do want to touch on a bit is you've got, if you want to call it a showdown, but it's probably just a big game as far as are these teams going to make a bowl game? Are they, or is their season really going to go into the you know, I'll try to clean it up and say into a tailspin. Texas A&M is at Arkansas, Missouri is at Kentucky, and Mississippi State is at Auburn. Do any of those games jump out at y'all?
That Arkansas game sounds interesting just because everybody had such high hopes for Arkansas, and they just haven't done as well. They, you know, a couple of tough breaks. So that one, the rest of them, not so much. Nothing really jumped out at me. But that's about the only one I would really pay attention to.
I think that one is going to be interesting. You know, the only reason why the Mississippi State game, Auburn game, I might keep an eye on just because there's nothing else really on tonight other than the is that the ABC game tonight? The Arizona UCLA game? It must be because there isn't much on this weekend. Because ESPN's doing Arkansas, Texas A&M. And USC, Arizona State. The NC State game will be on ESPN News tonight at 8 o'clock. Waller, you're talking about wanting to keep an eye on that. Vandy goes to Ole Miss. Good luck with that there, Vandy. That'll be on ESPNU tonight. And Mississippi State Auburn is going to be on at 7:30. So I'll probably have my eyes on the UCLA Arizona game. It is a bad week of football when I'm kind of circling the calendar for tonight to watch Pac-12 football, because you have that and you have Utah at Oregon at 8:30 on Fox.
You know what could happen though, McGee, with the Vandy game.
I could end up cleaning out my DVR instead.
Vanderbilt can throw the towel in.
Like, if Vandy showed up and Ole Miss coming off that huge, huge win, you know, they could make a game out of it if Ole Miss is just looking past Vanderbilt. I mean, it could happen. It's happened before.
Not with
this. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm just saying it could happen.
Maybe when Franklin's there.
And here's the ripper. I was flipping over saying, well, maybe there's a really big baseball game on tonight. But the only game of real interest, Pirates-Cubs, that thing starts at 1 o'clock.
Yeah,
so
the best thing SEC tonight is going to be Missouri-Kentucky. And I think Missouri will handle their business. But Kentucky might, depends on which team shows up, but they might make it an interesting game.
We only care about that sucker because we laid some hay on it. We took For all you bettors out there, if you want to know what we took today, we took Tennessee to win, TCU -3, BYU +7.5. You're probably getting 6.5 in most places, and Missouri +4.5. And most sites, you're probably getting 2.5 to 3. But I mean, Texas, Oklahoma State, they're trying to make us believe that that's a interesting game. I mean, this is some duds. Thankfully, next week it's actually going to get much, much better in the world of college football. I guess with that
not
being
for
said,
Gator fans, it's not. next week's not going to be fun. Whew.
TCU, Texas Tech's at 4:45. Man, what channel is that on? Like, I've never seen a 4:45 kickoff. This is a strange. It's got to be on TV, I would think. That is a strange kickoff. 4:45? It's not even on FS. I don't even know where FS2 is. That's going to take me until 4:45 to find that game. That's what that's going to be. I'm gonna take call around 4:30 and go. Oh, I found it.
Well, my TV's probably gonna get shut off depending the outcome of the Tennessee Florida game. I'm not even gonna lie.
Yeah, it's not even on your usual suspects. Yeah, Big Ten Network's got San Diego State versus Penn State. Wyatt will be the only one watching that sucker.
Then they got tonight games: Hawaii versus Wisconsin.
Woohoo! Go Rainbow Warriors! They're playing Wisconsin. That's not going to go well. I mean, it's going to go well for Wisconsin, but.
I thought I knew where FS2 was. Oh, here it is. No, it's not on FS2. I don't know what channel that's on. Good Lord. Oh, there it is. I found it. It's on Fox. It's on regular Fox. I would have never thought that. Starting an hour after Tennessee, Florida game. That's great marketing. Yeah, because I'm going to be locked into that sucker.
I'm going to be either crying in my beer or spewing beer all over my apartment.
I don't know much, but I know one thing. That Brett Bielema, and I can't think of the guy's, what's his name, Kingsbury?
Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, between Texas Tech and Arkansas. That has been, nothing else has been entertaining. Have y'all caught that this week?
Yes.
No.
Hilarious.
T, basically the head coach of Texas Tech, called out Arkansas' head coach after they beat him this week. Because I guess he gave some kind of camp in Texas high school kids earlier this year. Basically said that if you don't have a fullback, we're going to ram it down your throat and kick your A. Well, Texas Tech doesn't run fullback. They do that spread offense, and they demolished Arkansas. So it's pretty funny. And not only have they lost that game, but the Toledo team they lost to beat Arkansas as well. And then Arkansas, who's Arkansas playing this week?
A&M.
And they run the same kind of offense. So basically, King Gray said, well, he's already got his A kicked once. It's probably going to happen again next week, too. So it was pretty funny. And then, of course, Bielema came back, and they're going back and forth. Nothing else. It has been entertaining. Demas, you got anything?
Well, I don't know much, but I know one thing. I'm glad SEC football is back. Win or lose, I'm glad that we have a game to watch and we can, you know, our boys can go at each other. Good luck, Waller. I hope you lose. Hope you lose big.
Waller, you got anything before we go off the air?
I don't know much, but I know one thing. I hope Tamus is cringing in the fetal position, puking his guts out after this butt-whooping we hand to him today. And I love you, sis. Happy birthday tomorrow. We're going to party hard tonight. Hopefully we can be happy and not all pissed off after this Tennessee game.
Yeah. Happy birthday. I like you already.
For Tamus Wooten and Justin Waller, I'm Mac McGee. We'll see you next week. And make sure to catch us tomorrow on acqbradio.com for the Fantasy Football Show. A week from tomorrow, we're going to be on 102.1 FM as well as 1240 AM and acqbradio.com. We'll continue to do the Fantasy Football Show. And before you know it, the college football tailgate will be on WFO. Why too? That's the next goal. But I feel like in 1 year we've accomplished quite a bit, and I want to give a big thanks to Tamus Wooten and Justin Waller and Brad Shelton for everything they've done over the past year. Wyatt Stringer as well has contributed, and hopefully we can get this down the road where we can all quit busting our backs for a living and do this, because this may not pay as well, but it sure is a hell of a lot more fun.
You've been listening to Armchair Quarterback Radio on acqbradio.com and Blog Talk Radio. Listen to all of our shows on Blog Talk Radio every single Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern until kickoff. And Sunday, we have a fantasy football show from 11 a.m. Eastern until noon. You can listen to all of our archives on Blog Talk Radio. Just search Armchair Quarterback Radio. You can also listen to us live on acqbradio.com and call in at any time, 929-477-3987, or tweet us at acqbradio on Twitter. For Justin Waller, Timus Wooten, I'm Mac McGee. Thanks for listening to the College Football Tailgate Show. We'll be back next Saturday. And go see Ox on the Roof all around the New York City area. Armchair Quarterback Radio's Fantasy Football Hour comes your way every Sunday at 11 a.m. here on 102.1 FM and 1240 a.m. WFOY. Justin Waller, Brad Shelton, and Mac McGee answer all of your fantasy football news, pickups, stardoms, and sit-ems. Find Armchair Quarterback Radio on Facebook for show schedules, breaking news, and sports funnies. That's the Fantasy Football Hour every Sunday at 11 a.m. here on WFOY. Armchair Quarterback Radio, the lighter side of Southern sports.